and they are $10 a piece if you would like them. He will not take the money, but not me. No. If you pre-order through me, it'll be $9.50 today only. No. What I want to avoid is if something's free, I'm like, great, I'll take 30. Thank you very much, and I'll just leave them all over the hang. I'd like JB to be able to maintain his home and feed his family. So I recommend that even if this round he won't take them, he and I are still in discussions on this, and I'm the one who made him bring up money, not him. So I recommend $10 this time. He has offered to have that go to the church, or if you want to direct that to the home, wherever you want to direct that, that's up to you. That's wonderful. But next round we're going to make him take the money, I think, and figure that out there. So at least to cover his costs. Thank you, my brother. I encourage you to take a look at it. If you want, since JB won't be around afterwards, you can come see me. I have as copies. I know Nita and a number of people who are here on Wednesday evenings have copies, and take a look at it. I encourage you to take a look at it and see if it would help you. See if it's something that would help you in studying the Bible and understanding, as he said, understanding the forest for the trees. And I encourage you to take a look at that. And just thank you so much for all of your work and your faithfulness to God in this. And he can really testify to how this has really blessed his family and their understanding of Scriptures, of the Scripture. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your Word. Father, it's complex because you are complex, Lord God. You are enormous, Father God. And I thank you, you've given us your Word. And I thank you, Father God, that you teach us to love you more and more and to know you more and more. And I pray in this time now, O Lord God, as we study your Word in Zechariah, that we would know you more, love you more, O Lord God, worship you more, O Lord God, serve you and obey you more, O Lord God, in this time, that you would receive glory and honor and praise. So, Father, speak to us now, we pray. We, your servants, are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning we continue on in the book of Zechariah. We are on the sixth of eight visions in the book of Zechariah. And he has gone through this long night for himself of all these visions here. God has been showing him, been calling him, saying, first of all, the temple will be rebuilt. It looks like rubble and it's destruction. It's terrible right now, but the temple will be rebuilt. And that'll be a symbol, a sign that God is renewing, reestablishing his relationship with his people. He also then encourages people that, yes, I know it looks like evil is winning around the world, but evil will be defeated. And God promises to do that. Then in visions 4 and 5, he calls out the two individuals, right, Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the governor, and says that it's through these two people that God is going to work. God is going to redeem his people. And God's going to reestablish his covenant with his people, and he will build the temple. And last week we saw under the fifth vision to Zerubbabel that God said that it looks impossible to rebuild the temple. It looks impossible for God to cause the city of Jerusalem that is destroyed and the people that are like so weak now and so lukewarm and so full of apathy to have them be a thriving, vibrant community of followers of God. It looks impossible. But God says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God's gonna do it. But now as we come into the sixth vision, there's a danger here. There is the possibility, the temptation that these people who are very apathetic to begin with could look at all that God has said, the visions that he's provided through Zechariah so far, and say, great, temple's going to be rebuilt. That seems impossible, but okay, God says he's going to do it. That's great. And there's evil in the world, and God says he's going to take care of that. Great. Everything's great. I'm just going to sit back in my apathy, in my sin, in my selfishness, in my own thing. I'm just going to sit here because you know what? Everything's great. God's going to take care of it. What's the big deal about my sin? And to avoid the temptation of further complacency and further just assumption that, hey, I'm part of the community, therefore I must be covered by God's blessing. I must be saved. See where the translation goes here very quickly. Hey, I go to church. Things are fine. What's the big deal about my sin? I got it all covered, right? I go to church. There's this Jesus guy. I believe in him. Great. I'm all set, right? I don't have to worry about Satan or righteousness or holiness or anything else. Talking this week. I didn't have permission, so I won't share. It's nothing bad, but about how we so often as Christians read the commands of God for holiness, right? Take the plank out of your own eye. Okay. I was giving an example of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, right? We read those things and we say, well, hey, I prayed the sinner's prayer to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Therefore, I must have the fruit of the Spirit. It's got to be in there. I know I can't see it right now, and no one else can either, and especially my family, but it's got to be in there because I'm saved, right? And if I'm saved, the fruit's got to be there because it's a fruit of the Spirit. I'm born again by the Spirit. As opposed to saying, do I see the fruit of the Spirit? Am I living as Christ calls me to as a validation, as a demonstration that I am saved? You understand what I'm saying? That we get it backwards. We think we're born again, so who cares how we live? Where Jesus again and again and again, Jesus again and again and again calls us to our behaviors, our behaviors, our behaviors. Which sounds like, wait a minute, is he saying we're saved by works? No. He calls us to our behaviors so we see we can't accomplish them, come before Him in faith, are born again, and then through His Spirit live out in holiness and the behaviors He calls us to. Does sin matter? Does sin matter to God? Please turn with me to the book of Zechariah, chapter 5. Looking just at a few short verses this morning. 4 verses. For the 6th vision. We'll read verses 1 through 4. Zechariah says, I looked again, and there before me was a flying scroll. He, the angel, asked me, what do you see? I answered, I see a flying scroll, 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. And he, the angel, said to me, this is the curse that is going out over the whole land. For according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished. And according to what it says on the other, everyone who swears falsely will be banished. The Lord Almighty declares, I will send it out, and it will enter the house of the thief and the house of him who swears falsely by my name. It will remain in his house and destroy it, both its timbers and its stones. This is God's word. This vision here is the beginning, and the next vision has a very similar message. This vision is telling us God judges sin. God judges sin. And so often to us today, it looks like He doesn't. It looks like God isn't that concerned about sin. Right? We look around us and we see the state of the world and we say, where's God? If sin is so bad, why isn't God doing anything about this? We look at ourselves and we say, well, gee, I sin and Jesus forgives me, right? I mean, I didn't ask for forgiveness. But of course, I just have this kind of, we assume we have this blanket statement of just, whatever I do, God's just going to forgive me no matter what, right? Because God is love and Jesus forgives me, right? And the Scriptures declare God judges sin. And He's not making differentiations here between those who are in the covenant community and those who are outside of it in this vision. This vision opens up with the vision of the scroll in verses 1 and 2. Zechariah looks and he sees a scroll. And he sees a flying scroll. And the angel asks him to describe it. And he sees it's this flying scroll that's enormous. 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. And this is the vision that Zechariah sees. What is this like? Okay, first of all, it's a scroll. It's a scroll with writing on it. Scroll, oftentimes in the scriptures, we have there are numbers of times when there are scrolls in visions, actually. Okay? And a lot of times it's the word from God. It'd be like in the Bible. Okay? It's the word from God. And oftentimes, when the vision is of a scroll in the scriptures, it's coming as judgment. God's pronouncement of judgment. Here is the word of God. We better pay attention. We better listen to it. Now, this scroll is enormous. So this scroll here is not intended. It's not like some small little thing that God wrote his message of judgment on a little teeny scroll, rolled it up real tight, and hid it away somewhere. No, this scroll is more like a billboard designed for even my weakening eyes to see and to read. It's enormous, so that everyone can see it. This message is for everyone. The Word of God, the announcement of God's judgment, is for the whole world to see and to be able to read, because it's a large scroll. It's a flying scroll. It is fast. It's coming out. It's coming after. It's going across the whole world. And we'll see actually later, it goes into our houses. This is a scroll. We can't escape this. We can't hide from it. We can't run away from it. We can't ignore it. We can't deny it. We don't have power to negate it. It is coming. God's pronouncement of judgment is large for the whole world to see and for the whole world. This is the first vision. This is the vision of the scroll. This is what he sees. An enormous flying billboard. I know, you know, a number of months ago, we saw some of these billboards around here, didn't we, right? From Harold Camping out in California, you know, announcing, you know, the end of the world, God's judgment and the end of the world coming. What was it? First he said May 21st or something of 2011, and then October 21st. And he actually has repented. After the October 21st day, he admitted he was just so wrong and so off base. And when I read the transcript of an interview, it seemed very humble in his repentance, that he completely mishandled the Word of God. But there were these big bulletin boards that were all over the place. Well, this isn't like a nice big bulletin board that some company spent a lot of money hired on. This is from God Almighty himself. And I dare say, it's one thing if you drive down the street and one day you see a bulletin board for, I don't know, a pack of cigarettes, and the next day they put a new bulletin board on there and it's about the end of the world coming. This flying bulletin board here, going out from God to the whole world, is clearly it is from God. Well, next now in the vision here, the angel asks, the angel provides an interpretation of the vision. Here's what it looked like. Now he provides the interpretation in verse 3. And the angel said to me, "This is the curse that is going out over the whole land. For according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished. And according to what it says on the other, everyone who swears falsely will be banished." So now we hear and we learn what the scroll means. It's a curse. We learn what it says. And it's got writing on both sides. Now the writing on both sides should bring our minds and would have brought Zechariah's listeners back to the Ten Commandments. Really the second edition of the Ten Commandments after the first ones were destroyed. Because they're told that when the Ten Commandments are made on the two stone tablets, that they are written on both sides. Okay, it's the Word of God being written on both sides. And now this here is the Word of God. And in fact, what's written on one side is a curse to those who break the commandment of the Ten Commandments, break the commandment not to steal. So it's to thieves. And the second commandment is to those, the second curse is to those who break the commandment not to bear false testimony, not to lie. So really, this scroll here in the vision is pointing to those who break the law of God, those who break the Ten Commandments, those who sin And it's calling out two examples of sin here to represent, I believe, the totality of God's commands. Instead of listing all of them, he's calling out some to draw attention to. This is a curse for all who sin. And he announces what is going to be, what's going to happen to those who steal and those who swear falsely. Okay? They are going to be banished. It's the pronouncement of the curse on them, of the judgment of God. They'll be banished. Banished from God's people, banished from God's presence, banished from God. Okay? There's a description here, as we'll see later in verse 4, of death, of eternal separation from God as the judgment for sin. Okay? Finally, now in verse 4, we see God is carrying out the vision of the scroll. We see what it looks like when God actually carries out the vision, the what he has pronounced, what he has promised in the scroll. We see what it begins to look like. The Lord Almighty declares, I will send it out. It will enter the house of the thief and him who swears falsely by my name. It will remain in his house and destroy both its timbers and its stones. So here's what's going to happen with the curse that God is sending out. It's not just a warning like, oh, isn't that nice, God? Yeah, whatever. Here's how he's going to do it. First of all, the judgment, it comes from God. God says in verse 4, the Lord Almighty declares, I will send it out. Send out the scroll. Send out this curse. Send out the judgment. I will send it out. This is not a representative of God. It is God himself. Second, we can't hide from it. It enters into their houses. Picture this enormous scroll coming after you, and you're trying to get in, you're hiding in your basement, trying to get like you would from a tornado. And you may hide from a tornado, but you will not hide from God. He will search us out. Picture here in my mind of the 10 plagues on Egypt, right? Where it reached into every household. Curse of the death of the firstborn. Right? There was no hiding if you were rich or hiding if you were poor. If you had a bigger household, you kept the angel of death out. If you hid down in the basement, no. There's no hiding from God. And finally, the judgment that God is pronouncing here, it is complete. The end of verse 4. It will remain in his house and destroy it, both its timbers and its stones. So what do we get from this vision? What do we get from this message from God here? God judges sin. God takes sin very seriously. And we don't. We really don't. So we had a difference of opinion with God over this here. And God is pronouncing this vision to the covenant people of God in Zechariah's time to open their eyes to their need to repent. We think that we sit fine with God no matter how we live. God calls us as Christians to live for Him, to live under His kingdom, under His our behavior, rules. And we have it backwards. Now, as we talked a lot about in Peter, and I hope we talk a lot about every week, we don't follow rules to get saved. We don't follow God's commandments to be saved. Once we are saved, by faith, by God's grace, through believing in Jesus, then we follow the rules because we are saved. We don't follow the rules to be saved. When we're saved, we follow the rules because we love Him. Because we love Him. God is, I pray, opening our eyes this morning to see He cares about sin. Sin matters before Him, and He will judge sin. So what do? Whether we're a non-Christian for the first time coming, we repent and come and trust Jesus. Whether we're walking with Him for 5 minutes or 5 years or 50 years, if there is sin in our life, And the Bible says there is. Let us go to the Father in humility and repent. And you see, brothers and sisters, Jesus will forgive your sin. Jesus will forgive your sin. That's why He went to the cross. Just don't presume upon it because He was there and, oh, must cover the sins of the whole world. No. Come to Jesus in repentance, in faith, and He will forgive your sins. He came to announce the coming of the kingdom of God. And in doing so, He called us to repent and to believe Him. Brothers and sisters, repent and believe on Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank You very much that You love us so much that You won't let us just run off the cliff to hell because of our sin, but that You call us through the times opening our eyes to see the reality of our sin, O Lord God. I pray You would open our eyes and ears, that we would see our sin and see our need for the Savior, whether for the first time today, for the millionth time today, O Lord God. Father God, may we humbly bow before Christ and pray, O Lord God, that You would forgive us our sins. Not because we are worthy, but because Jesus died on the cross. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The ushers come forward.